Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. It's time for the Fastnet by Four County MSU Tailgate Show with Brian Haydad.
Touchdown!
Get ready for an action-packed hour with an inside look at the Bulldogs and their opponent, interviews with coaches, and predictions for future games.
Thank you to our Fastnet by Four County MSU Tailgate Show sponsors, Fastnet, Campus Bookmark, and Obie's.
Now let's go live to the show with your host, Brian Haydad.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. It is the MSU Tailgate Show presented by Fastnet by Four County. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on this kickoff day of the 2026 season. WLZA Laser 96.1. We are 3 hours from kickoff at Davis-Wade Stadium and the start of a new season for the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Jeff Lebby, Kamario Taylor. We are back, baby, and I couldn't be more happy to be here with you on the Tailgate Show, presented by Fastnet by Four County, the fastest, easiest, and most reliable internet option available, brought to you by your friends at Four County Electric Power Association. No contracts, no hassles, no data caps, broadband internet service to your home. It's fast, it's affordable, and it's reliable. For more information, call 1-800-431-1544 or go to 4cfastnet.com. Fastnet.com brings you the MSU Tailgate Show. So good to be back with you. And good to be back in college football. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are at a crossroads season, for Mississippi State and for Jeff Lebby. And what I mean by that is this. Jeff Lebby came to Mississippi State at a low point. And his first year, it is what it is. You know, the record speaks for itself. Last year, tangible improvement, but so much better. It could have been so much better. There was a chance to really take a massive step forward in year two. And the Bulldogs had games in their hands late and simply could not get the job done. And so you finish with a record of 5-8. This year, a level of excitement because of the quarterback, because of Kamario Taylor. We're going to go in depth on Kamario a little later in the show and what his ceiling can be and what he could be as a Mississippi State Bulldog. But the truth of the matter is this. This is year three of Jeff Lebby's tenure at Mississippi State. We live in a world now where coaches are expected to turn things around quickly. And fair or unfair, when we can look at a program like Indiana that historically has not been good. Mississippi State has been a better program historically than Indiana has. But a coach can come in and in 2 years win a national title there. We're going to set the expectations on Jeff Lebby, and we're not going to set them that high. We're not going to tell him he has to win a national title in year three. We're not going to tell him he has to be in the college football playoff in year three. But the talent, the roster is there. The changes on the coaching staff, the return of Zach Arnett to turn this defense around, to get it back to where Bulldog fans expect Mississippi State defense to be. The talent that he has on offense to go around Kamario Taylor, the speed at the wide receiver position, the toughness of a Fluff Bothwell. The defensive talent, Kelly Jones, a potential first-rounder, all-SEC safety, Isaac Smith. Will Whitson looks healthy. He was a difference maker in the limited time we got to see him last year. There's no excuses to not be a top 25 team. So that's what's on Jeff Lebby's plate right now. He has to deliver that to Mississippi State, starting today against ULM. ULM is not a good football team by any metric you look at. One of my favorite metrics is from ESPN's Bill Connolly, who invented a formula called SP+. And basically, it's math, guys. They plug in the numbers, and this is what comes out. And it tracks pretty close to accurate when we were talking about, you know, how the ratings work versus how the results pan out. There are 138 teams in the Football Bowl subdivision. He ranks ULM as 136. They are predicted dead last in the Sun Belt Conference. Last year, Mississippi State played a good Southern Miss team on the road, a good Sun Belt team, and won that game pretty easily. Won by 17 points on the road, led by as many as 24, could have kept the foot on the gas and probably won that game by 4 touchdowns. No excuses today. This should be a very optically pleasing game for Mississippi State fans. This should be a game that is never in doubt at any point. Mississippi State should score when they have the ball. They should prevent ULM from scoring when they have the ball. And that is as simple as football gets. And if you want to go deeper, Mississippi State should control the lines of scrimmage. They should be able to run the ball at will. They should be able to protect Kamario Taylor. When they're on defense, they should be able to get after the Warhawks. They should be able to put pressure on the quarterback. They should be able to stop the run. If they can't do those things, that's a red flag. Good news is, I think they are going to do those things. I think this is going to be one of the easiest wins of the season for Mississippi State. Very tough schedule for the Bulldogs. We'll talk a little bit more about the season in just a minute. But we're at a crossroads with Jeff Lebby. Either he succeeds or he doesn't. And at the end of this season, I would tell you that if he doesn't succeed, there may be, you know, change on the horizon. But this is that's a week 12 discussion. This is week 1. Week 1 is about optimism. And there's a lot to be optimistic about with this Bulldog football program. It starts with Kamario Taylor, who may have the highest ceiling of any quarterback to have ever played at Mississippi State. And I know the names that that includes. From a sheer physical talent standpoint, this is a player who has more physical attributes than Dak Prescott did. Now, does he have the leadership? Does he have the intangibles, the game knowledge that Dak Prescott had? That's to be determined. But in terms of being a faster runner and a harder thrower, there's no question that Kamario Taylor is the most talented quarterback to ever put on the maroon and white. We saw a little bit of it last year in the Egg Bowl against a really good Ole Miss team. We saw a lot of it in the bowl game where they lost to a Wake Forest team. That I'm not going to put that loss on Kamario Taylor. That loss I would put squarely on Coleman Hutzler's defense. Defense last year was an issue for Mississippi State. Zach Arnett is back. It should not be an issue. I won't even say it should be less of an issue. I have full faith and confidence in Zach Arnett's ability to get this defense playing at a high level. I have full faith and confidence in Jeff Lebby's ability to turn Kamario Taylor into an elite quarterback. He's done it with every quarterback he's worked with prior to Blake Shapen. And Shapen, for all his faults last year, was hamstringed by one of the worst offensive lines in the country. Mississippi State went out in the transfer portal. They made a big swing for some offensive line targets. They ended up with who they ended up with. But the thing I liked about this offensive line, or at least I like what I've heard, is the starting five that you should see today, from Miles McVay, DJ Chester, Cannon Boone, LJ Prudhomme, and Jakeem Shumpert-Perkins, that's been State's starting five since the start of the spring. Now, if you go back to spring practice, those were the guys lining up. So in a world, in a time where, you know, you're bringing in transfers and they've got to gel and they got to figure it out, I think that's a great sign that these guys should have developed some chemistry as an offensive line. If they can protect Kamario Taylor, guys, we don't need them to be Charles Cross and Porkchop Womack and Randy Thomas and Ken Hall and those guys. We don't need that. Just need an average offensive line at Mississippi State, and the talent you have at the skill positions and the talent you have at the quarterback, you're going to win. So it all comes down to this offensive line for me. If they can protect Kamario Taylor, Kamario Taylor is a potential all-SEC, all-American talent at quarterback. The sky is the limit for this young man. He can be as good as he wants to be. I had the opportunity to speak with him at SEC Media Days. And, you know, you're speaking to a 19-year-old kid there. He's a sophomore, about to be a sophomore in college. You know, 2 years ago, he was playing Louisville and West Point. Now he's going to play Alabama and LSU. But I was impressed with the maturity. I was impressed with the way he spoke. That, you know, it didn't feel like I was like, you know, I have a 17-year-old daughter. I know what teenagers sound like when they talk. This guy sounded more mature. That's a great sign for me. I feel like this team, I think they're hungry to win. I also think that they believe they're going to win. The past couple of years when I've talked to the players, and even when I've talked to Jeff Lebby, I've gotten the vibe that they wanted to win. They were willing to do the things that were required to win, but did they actually believe when they hit the field on Saturday they were going to win? I don't know how much of that belief was truly there, especially from Lebby's part, who I think he knew what kind of task he had in front of him. I think it's taken longer than he thought it would. That's something he addressed with me at Media Days, that he wished he had a better grasp of how long some things were going to take. If you remember coming in, Lebby talked about this is not a rebuild. Guys, it's very much a rebuild. You don't go 2-10 and 5-8 when it's not a rebuild. So they're trying to get that to the point now where they have to take another step forward. But what's a step forward? Is 6-6 going to be an acceptable step forward? Does he need to win 7 games? I just said I think you can be a top 25 team. I think you have top 25 talent on this roster. I know what the schedule is, but at some point you have to win these games. You can't just look at the schedule and say, okay, Alabama, LSU, Texas, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, no chance. Can't win any of those games. You have to be able to find a way to win one. That's Jeff Lebby's job this year, is to win some games he wasn't supposed to win. He was on the cusp of doing it last year. He had Tennessee on the ropes. He had Texas on the ropes. He had Florida on the ropes. Couldn't knock him out. This year, you got to land the big punch. You've got better weapons to do it, too. You're so much better at the quarterback position than you were a year ago. Defensively, you've got real coach, real talent on that side of the ball. You've added some experienced offensive coaches to your staff, guys that can be in the headset and be in the room and be in the press box to give Jeff Lebby just a little bit of knowledge they didn't really have last year. His staff was so young, so inexperienced, so many first-time guys. Now you've got guys who've been doing this for a long, long time in the headset. Phillip Montgomery, Kevin Johns, Matt Wells, Mason Miller, all back here, all part of the staff. That's a big, big plus for me. Everything's on the table for Mississippi State to be improved. And when I say improved, I mean maybe the same type of improvement you saw from last year. They went from 2 to 5. Can they jump from 5 to 8? There's no reason to not think that they can. But at the same time, if you're wary, if you're pessimistic, I understand. Because Jeff Lebby hasn't earned that trust with you yet. I think he could start earning it back with a big, big win today. If Mississippi State fans walk out of Davis-Wade Stadium today and they've seen their team put together a 40-plus point victory, which is what I think is going to happen, I think they're going to look at next week against Minnesota, and they're going to say, we're going to go up there, we're the better team than them, we're going to be 2-0 when we go to South Carolina. And then they're going to say, we can beat South Carolina. South Carolina is not that hard. We can beat them. And they've got to build some momentum in this early part of the season. A 4-0 start this year would be so different than last year's 4-0 start because you're the teams you would have beaten, Minnesota, South Carolina, Missouri. You win those games, you're a real team. You're a legit contender. And you can be a team that has the kind of season Mississippi State fans so desperately want to have. We're just getting started here on the Tailgate Show. A little later, my friend Carlo Barone from WCBI Sports, my co-host on the Thunder and Lightning podcast, will join us. But when we come back, I want to talk more in depth about Kamario Taylor and about this team. This is the MSU Tailgate Show, presented by Fastnet by 4 County. We'll be right back after this.
Let's go back live to the Fastnet by 4 County MSU Tailgate Show with your host, Brian Haydad.
Welcome back to the MSU Tailgate Show, presented by Fastnet by 4 County. I'm Brian Haydad. This is WLZA Laser 96.1, the flagship station for Mississippi State Athletics here in the Golden Triangle. Thanks for joining me here on a Saturday afternoon as we are getting closer to kickoff of Mississippi State versus Louisiana Monroe. 6:30 p.m. kick at Davis-Wade Stadium. I want to thank Campus Bookmart over on East Lee Boulevard, one of our great sponsors, locally owned and operated since 1971. You know where Campus Bookmart is. You know what that is. You've all been there. We've all bought books. We've all bought MSU gear from Campus Bookmart. When you're trying to get to be game ready, Campus Bookmart is the place to go. And if you're tailgating out in the Junction today, they've got all the great tailgate gear from cowbells to coolers. Drop by Campus Bookmart on East Lee Boulevard in Starkville. Give them a call today at 662-323-7660 or go to campusbookmart.com, or you can find them on Facebook. Kamario Taylor. The highlight reels kind of speak for themselves with this young man. The arm strength. If you missed it earlier this year, he was at the Manning Passing Academy, and he really stole the show. You know, throwing 70-yard bombs down the field. The speed, the athleticism. We've all seen that touchdown run he had against Ole Miss in the Egg Bowl where he escapes the pocket as it collapses on him, outruns a couple of guys, puts a leg in the ground, and leaves an Ole Miss defender grabbing air and flailing to the ground, and then carries himself into the end zone. We've seen, if you were at the spring game, I saw a quarterback that was a little bit more confident in the pocket. Lebby has made Kamario Taylor trying to work him in the pocket because you know what he can do with his legs. You don't have to question that. You know the speed is there. When the play breaks down, sure, he can take off. Lebby told us a few weeks ago that as they scrimmage, that when the play breaks down and he starts to escape the pocket, Lebby's blowing the whistle. It's like, stay in there. We need you to become better at being a pocket passer. We know what you can do with your legs. And I'm sure, and I asked him on Monday when we spoke to the media, when they spoke to the media, you know, are you excited to not hear that whistle blow when you roll out now? And he said, yeah, he is, because he knows he can make those plays. His improvement as a passer, and we're talking about the intermediate to short passing game. Can you be a 60% plus passer in the pocket? Can you hit the short routes, the checkdowns? And when it's third and six, can you get 8 yards? When it's third and four, can you get 6 yards on a passing play? That's going to be the difference between winning and losing, between good and great, between Kamario Taylor being a good quarterback and Kamario Taylor being one of the best quarterbacks in the country. I know Kamario Taylor is going to deliver on the deep balls. I have no worry about that. When you combine his arm strength, his accuracy, and the speed that Mississippi State has at the receiver position, yes, they're replacing Brennan Thompson, but they went out and found two burners in Marquise Johnson and Zion Reagans. Both of those guys will play today. You know what you have with Anthony Evans there in the slot. You got two Mississippi kids out there with Aiden Williams and Sanfrisco McGee. They should be good targets for Mississippi State. State's going to have guys down the field. If you really watch Mississippi State, I say this all the time, if you get it like an all-22, or if you make a point to watch the plays develop, and do that today as you're watching the game. If you're at Davis-Wade Stadium, take a minute and don't really watch the ball. Watch the receivers down the field. They're always open. This offense gets receivers open. And that goes back to what we were talking about a little earlier. If you can just protect Kamario Taylor a little bit, you got a real chance that this guy is going to find receivers down the field. You know, the mantra of score from far, it only works when you can block. And last year, State couldn't do that. If they're better up there, you've got a quarterback and a receiving core that can light up this scoreboard. You know, Mississippi State offensively last year was not a bad football team. They struggled in conference play, especially towards the end of the season, as the offensive line just continued to get worse and worse. But they were still a 30-point-per-game offense. They can jump that up this year. I really feel good about the skill position guys. I feel good about the running backs. But where I feel the best is about Kamario Taylor. You know, obviously with this year, with only two starts to his name, I couldn't vote Kamario Taylor first-team All-SEC quarterback. But there is a world where he is that guy at the end of the year. Now, he'd have to overcome some big names. I mean, we're talking about Trinidad Chambliss at Ole Miss and Arch Manning at Texas, Gunnar Stockton, Lenoris Sellers. By the way, these are all quarterbacks he's going to play this year. But for Mississippi State, Kamario Taylor has that ability. We did a podcast earlier this summer where we kind of looked at it from an aggregate standpoint of what have Jeff Lebby quarterbacks been able to do when Jeff Lebby is the primary play caller. So we looked at Lebby at Central Florida. We looked at him at Ole Miss. We looked at him at Oklahoma. And then we looked at him here at Mississippi State. As you can probably guess, the Mississippi State numbers are some of the lowest of his career from a passing standpoint. But what he was able to do with Corral, what he was able to do with Dylan Gabriel. I mean, Corral, you guys remember Matt Corral. This is a guy who was a very erratic passer his first couple of years at Ole Miss. Under Jeff Lebby's tutelage, he became the best quarterback in the conference. There's no reason you can't have that with Kamario Taylor because physically his tools are better than Corral's. And Lebby said so himself. There was a recent article from On3 Sports that Chris Lowe wrote about Kamario Taylor. And Lebby says, you know, from a tool standpoint, I've never coached a quarterback like this. The average quarterback production under Jeff Lebby is about 3,300 yards passing, and it's about 300 yards rushing, but there's a couple of outliers in there. Jet Lebby's first year at State, neither of his quarterbacks, Chapin or Michael Van Buren, were runners. And I think they, as a unit, they combined for less than 100 yards rushing. Corral and Gabriel have both had 500-yard, 400-yard seasons. I think Corral had a 600-yard season. So I expect that number to be much higher. Now, the 3,300 passing yards, it might balance out. You might see Kamario Taylor throw for 2,700, 2,800 and rush for 600 or 700. You know, this is not an offense where I don't think you're going to produce a lot of 1,000-yard rushers because Lebby, you know, he spreads the ball around so much. He's a big running back by committee guy. Kamario Taylor could easily be State's leading rusher at the end of the season, the same way Matt Corral was when the Ole Miss Rebels won 10 games and went to the Sugar Bowl. I think we would all sign up for that right now as we're sitting here together. So for me, the potential is there. The tools are there. It's just about, can Kamario Taylor get the protection that he needs? Can he develop enough as a quarterback. You know, it's something you hear a lot. You hear the term, it was used a lot, and sometimes it was used as a derogatory term, as an athlete playing quarterback, as like a guy that you want the ball in his hands, he can make some things happen, but, you know, is he a great pocket passer? He's not. I think Kamario Taylor can be a great pocket passer. He's certainly going to be able to fire the ball into the tight spaces because he's got the arm strength to do it. He's got receivers who should be able to get open. He's got an offensive scheme that elevates quarterbacks and allows them to have big numbers. Everything's working in his favor. Everything is going to be working towards a career year for Kamario Taylor. But he has to deliver. He has to deliver for Mississippi State. He has to be the guy. You know, let's think about, you know, 2013 with Dak. And I guess is 2013 the best example? Because he wasn't the starter at the end of the year. I mean, 2014 might be the better example. Dak was good right from the jump. Now, he got a little bit easier start to the season. He started with three non-conference games against, you know, group of six teams. But right away, you were like, this kid's really, really good. And by the time you got down to LSU and had that monster game against the Tigers, you kind of knew what you had. A little deeper water for Kamario in his first four games, you know, with the trip to Minnesota, a trip to South Carolina, two of the best pass rushers in the country, Minnesota's Anthony Smith and Dylan Stewart coming his way. And then a Missouri team that absolutely beat up Mississippi State last year. They come to Starkville on September the 26th. It's an almost unfair expectation. Mississippi State needs Kamario Taylor to not be good. They need him to be great. One thing that's true about college football is that when you have a great quarterback, not a good one, but a great one, it's really, really tough to be bad. If you've got a good quarterback, it's, you know, you should be fine. But if your quarterback is great, when's the last time you saw a quarterback that you're like, this guy is unbelievable, fantastic player. What was his team's record? Oh, they were 4-8. It never happens. It never happens. Great quarterback play elevates everything. Kamario Taylor has the potential to be great. He has every tool in his arsenal. And is that a fair expectation? Today, when the game starts, that's Kamario Taylor's third start ever. But we're putting a lot of burden on him. A friend of mine sent a text to a group with a picture of Kamario. He's like, my mental health, my sanity, my everything depends on this young man, and he doesn't even know who I am. And I just thought about that for a second. It's funny in the moment, but at the same time, there's, you know, every Mississippi State fan out there is in that same boat with my buddy, where Kamario Taylor has to lead them, has to deliver for them. If he doesn't, it's going to be really, really tough for Mississippi State. And is that a fair expectation to put on a guy making his third ever start in a conference like this with so much talent, where they're going to play Missouri, who won, you know, what, eight games last year? And Alabama, who was in the playoff. LSU with Lane Kiffin and all the craziness down there, but they're super talented, right? Texas was a 10-win team last year. Oklahoma was a 10-win team in the playoff last year. Auburn with a brand-new head coach. Vanderbilt was a 10-win team. I know they lose Diego Pavia, but I don't think this is the same Vanderbilt program of the last, you know, decade. I think they may have turned a little bit of a corner. We're going to find out for sure this year. They're going to play Ole Miss, who are having their greatest stretch since integration out there right now. You know, it would bring back Trinidad Chambliss and Kewan Lacy. Oh, that game's on the road too. And we're telling this kid in his who's going to make his third start today, you've got to win some of these games. And it could come down to, really, you have to win some of these games. You're going to have to be the guy who goes out there and throws for 300 yards and rushes for 100 yards. You know, going back to his high school days, Kamario Taylor has heard comparisons to Cam Newton. Similar, you know, physicality, similar styles, big arm. Cam Newton took a team that not a single offensive player he played with played in the NFL. Not one. I would tell you right now, Mississippi State has better skill position guys than Cam Newton's Auburn team did. Defensively, one guy played in the NFL. One. Mississippi State has multiple guys that will play in the NFL. I have no doubt about that. This team, on paper, man, this is a bold statement. I know that it is. But on paper, this roster is probably right there with that 2010 Auburn team. The difference is Auburn had Cam Newton, the ultimate difference maker, a guy who may have put together the greatest single season in college football history. National champion, Heisman Trophy, he did it all. State needs almost that kind of level from Kamario Taylor. That's not fair. It's not fair to say, hey, can you be as good as maybe the greatest single season in the history of this sport? So if that's an A+, what Newton did, is B+ good enough for Mississippi State? Yes, I think so. I think if Kamario Taylor had on the Cam Newton scale, which is a hell of a scale, but if they did that, a B+ season would be enough. And so for me, for this Mississippi State team, if Kamario Taylor can just deliver to that level, you're going to be fine. You're going to be just fine. I believe in this young man. I will tell you that. I absolutely believe he can be successful. I absolutely believe he can be a superstar, an NFL first-round pick at quarterback from Mississippi State. He has all of the talent. He's going to have the opportunities in this offense. He has to deliver. I'm excited to watch him play today. You know, this is the first time where he's going to be out there on the field with a defense that can help him and playing a team that his team outmatches them by a large margin. So it should go well for him. He should be one of the highlight players of the day. When if you're watching a highlight show later, they're going to say, from Starkville, look at this kid, Kamario Taylor. Look at the numbers he put up today. What a unbelievable talent Jeff Lebby has there. It should be a good day for Mississippi State. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Carlo Barone, my new co-host on Thunder and Lightning, and of course from WCBI Sports here in the Golden Triangle. He's going to talk, we're going to talk a little bit about the depth chart, about the upcoming season, and get his thoughts on what should be happening today at Davis-Wade Stadium. We'll be back in just a minute. This is the MSU Tailgate Show here on WLZA Laser 96.1, presented by Fastnet by 4County.
Now, back live to the Fastnet by 4County MSU Tailgate Show with your host, Brian Haydad.
We're back here on the Fastnet by 4County MSU Tailgate Show. I'm Brian Haydad. This is WLZA Laser 96.1, the flagship station for Mississippi State Athletics. Glad to be with you here as we're getting closer and closer to kickoff for Mississippi State and Louisiana Monroe over at Davis-Wade Stadium. You know, just to give you guys a little inside baseball, when we have the sponsors here on the show, you know, they send me a little read and they're like, hey, can you read this and say that? And, you know, most of the time it's, you know, I do what they ask. But then there's this sponsor and I don't need a read. It's Obie's. Obie's is one of my favorite restaurants here in town. I'm probably not going to be telling anybody who listens to this ad read about Obie's. If you went to Mississippi State, you went to Obie's at least once. And I know you had a great experience there. One of my favorite restaurants here in town. I eat there at least once a week. It is the place for me to get catfish. I love the catfish at Obie's. I get it every time I go. Very rarely do I change up from the catfish platter. But when I do change it up, the shrimp po' boy, the roast beef po' boy, man, I love a trip to Obie's. If you are ever hanging out with me and you're like, you want to go to Obie's, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes. And look, if you're trying to tailgate, Obie's can absolutely help you with that. They can put together a chicken tender platter, a catfish platter, a po' boy platter. You name it, they've got it. Give them a call today at 662-323-0444 to place your tailgating order with Obie's over on 504 Academy Road. All right. So I talked to Carlo Barone. This was an interview we did. It's not really an interview. I'm not interviewing the guy. He's my podcast co-host. But we talked for Thunder and Lightning Live on Wednesday night, which, of course, as you know, airs statewide here on Super Talk. Just wanted to get his thoughts on the depth chart, the upcoming season, and so on. So let's go to that conversation now. Carlo Barone, WCBI Sports, and of course, my co-host on the Thunder and Lightning podcast. Back here on Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi, I'm Brian Haydad. We are here on a Wednesday evening. We are presented by Dotson Big Four in Tupelo, and we are joined for the first time here on Thunder and Lightning Live by my are you still my new co-host?
No.
This year just my co-host at this point.
Yeah.
All right, Carlo Barone, WCBI Sports, here with us. And Carlo, we were on tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning podcast. We went over the Mississippi State depth chart. We've talked about it a little bit here on the show as well. Not a lot of surprises for Mississippi State. When you look at that depth chart, I guess the overarching question is, do you see a Do you see a good SEC team?
You think so? You know what you do see, Brian? You see a better SEC team than the last few years in this town. I think the depth is the main thing that you like to see, especially defensively. The D tackle, D line, they're very deep. Linebackers, they've got talented guys. And the secondary, obviously, everyone knows about with Isaac Smith, Kelly Jones, and you know Jet Jefferson now taking the corner two spot. Yeah, you see a good SEC team that, you know, is a few injuries at key places to being in some trouble, but you could say it about just about every team.
About every team is that way. I think the most noticeable place where it's different is on the defensive line. And that's something else you and I went into a little detail about on tomorrow's pod, where you go back and look at State's D-line from two seasons ago, from Levy's first year. I mean, not good. We'll just be kind and say not good. This year, a guy like Calvin Dinkins, who was a starter, you know, the past couple of years, you know, would have been a starter in 2024 before he got hurt and then, you know, played a ton for Mississippi State last year. Listed as your third string defensive tackle, Will Whitson, I believe, is a real difference maker. Daylon Evans, DJ Reed, Dre Bledsoe, these are all guys that I think can play at this level. And you've got second string guys like Trevion Williams and Calvin Dinkins and even a guy like Diesel Moy, who, you know, he has a role, but he fills that role. This is I wouldn't go so far as to say it's an SEC quality defensive line top to bottom, but it's got enough quality that it's not the glaring weakness it has been the past couple of years.
No, and I think them being able to stop the run is going to be better than it has been the last 2 years, simply just because of the, you know, the increase in big transfers and guys that have developed into the program. You know, they're very deep at that position now. I think that'll be translating to, you know, more stopping the run. I mean, Isaac Smith talked about it on Monday. Mm-hmm. The return of Will Whitson is going to be huge because he was very good at stopping the run when he was in there for those six quarters. He had a good camp last year. I mean, it sounds like he's, when he's healthy, there'll be a decent run-stopping team, which, again, was a lot of their weakness last year. They nearly lost the Arizona State game because of it. They lost the Missouri game because of it. It was just always a weakness, especially for the last 2 years. So I think they'll be able to stop the run better. And that's also not to mention the new coordinator that's in town that's going to do a lot for that as well.
Yeah, 100% with Zach Arnett. You know that defense is going to be better. What's the strongest group on the field for you for Mississippi State, offense or defense?
A position group or like, because I would say the secondary.
If you wanted to say secondary, that's
yeah, I would say secondary. I think they've got two of their best, probably three players on the team in the secondary, and Isaac Smith and Kelly Jones. Mm-hmm. Jefferson is not
the most talented guy on the team in Brandon Womack.
Yeah.
Like, literally pound for pound, just in terms of talent and athletic ability, he might be number one.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
That's just a fair assessment. There, you can make a case, and if they had gotten Jerron Manning back, I really would have been,
oh man,
really would have been banging the table for this. Of this would be one of the better secondaries in the SEC, like right near the top.
I still think they're definitely
probably top five.
Definitely, 1,000%.
And you know, think about the Egg Bowl last year and how Ole Miss just destroyed the cornerback that wasn't Kelly Jones.
Yeah.
Right, and Diego Brumfield and David Williams, they just didn't have a chance in that game. This year, I feel like Jet Jefferson, Kelly Jones talked about him on Monday when we spoke to the players. He feels like he can be a real true compliment to him, I think.
And that wouldn't that be crazy? Because how good Kelly Jones is, you have two really good corners. That would probably move him up to number two with Alabama arguably having probably the best two.
If Jefferson is a above average corner, then you have one of the best secondaries.
Yeah,
in the
I mean, that's not even saying anything about the safeties and the experience they have there, and maybe the, you know, the talent I should add with Womack coming in that room as well. That secondary is loaded, man. They're gonna give some opposing passing attacks some really tough days, because that's also with, you know, Arnett scheming guys up for blitzing, and then you're gonna throw on the blitz in this secondary. I mean, takeaways is something I guess we haven't really talked about very much with them.
Because you can't really plan for them.
No, you cannot. But I will say, I expect them to have a lot easier of a time getting them this year than they have the last two. Scheme-wise, yeah. But also you're throwing into arguably a better secondary than they had the last 2 years.
Well,
you rush it, you can't really screw up with Kelly Jones.
With one of the ways you get turnovers is to force pressure on the quarterback. The last 2 years, Mississippi State just did not pressure the quarterback. Can't. They're going to pressure the quarterback with Zach Arnett. So, yes, there are going to be more opportunities for turnovers there, for sure. On the offensive side of the ball, you know, everything is kind of looking at Kamario Taylor. I think this is, in terms of, you know, I don't really count the Egg Bowl as a debut because, you know, it's the last game of the year.
He also played a good amount.
He had played, but I'm talking about in terms of it's his team.
No.
You know, last year, the Egg Bowl, I think going into that game, there was a lot of, well, we hope. But you knew Ole Miss was the way better football team.
They also had way more to gain.
If you're a Mississippi State fan looking back at the Egg Bowl, your hopes and dreams centered on the fact that maybe they're distracted by everything that was going on with Kiffin. But this is, to me, this game is the start of the Kamario Taylor era at Mississippi State. I was on Richard Cross's show this morning, and he asked me, you know, what's the story with him? What's the thought process on Kamario? And I just said, if they can protect him, the sky's the limit. This is a potential all-SEC, all-American talent, just in terms of what he can do on the field with his legs, with his arm, the maturity, the leadership. I think he's got all the intangibles, but they've got to protect him. That State offensive line, it's better than, you know, the people in the four walls are better than they were.
Belief in these walls.
There's belief, but that is still, you said when we started, you know, where an injury could really hurt you. The offensive line is the obvious spot there. A couple of injuries there, and you're going to be in real, real trouble.
We talked about on tomorrow's show because Lebby's always like, oh, we have seven guys we're really confident with, eight where we feel like we can play good football. So we tried guessing the other three, and, I mean, one of them that we thought was Dalton Toothman, who's
a true freshman,
was in high school last year. So
I'd love to know the schedule for Van Cleve last year. I'd love to know who Dalton Toothman was blocking a season ago at this time.
It's almost like you want to put your worst rusher against them.
Well, I mean, he's playing the center. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah, but he was playing tackle in high school, so I'm sure he's a little bit different.
But
the fact that he would be one of them, if Boone goes down, you got a true freshman at starting center, and that'd be tough. So let's not hope injuries for anybody, but their offensive line, they're one or two injuries away from playing some guys that maybe they aren't as confident in as some other people. But two is probably fine. Yeah. They would need three.
I agree with you on that. We've talked a lot over the past few months about this game and how, from an optics position, Mississippi State needs to dominate this game. The analytics, if you look at S&P Plus, if you look at any kind of high-level analytic, this ULM team is rated as one of the worst in the SEC. They were picked dead last in the Sun Belt Conference. Last year, Mississippi State went on the road, played an above-average Sun Belt team with a team. This year's team, I think, is more talented than last year's Mississippi State team, and they dominated that game. This needs to be start to finish dominant. That game was at least chippy for the first couple of quarters. This game, Mississippi State needs to come out and dominate from the first step and move on. We got about 90 seconds left. You know, if I had to put you on the spot for a prediction right now, what would it be?
I think State, their defense is going to shine more than their offense will this week. I think just with the scheme, the players are returning, they're probably more of the unit that's ready for week one. Not the offense isn't ready, but ready to go out and do it. So I'm going to go State's defense dominates ULM, and they probably score, they definitely score under 14, maybe under 10.
So something like 45 to 10.
Thinking maybe like a 56-7 game or like a...
I'll tell you what.
49-7, 49-10.
You'd have some fans pretty happy if that came true. 56-7 in this game. The State's first game under Lebby was 56-7, but you're playing a really bad FCS team. This is it's a really bad team, but at least it's FBS. A 56-7 win.
That also depends on how long they leave in the offensive starters.
They do. I could see a world where they try to get Kamario into the third quarter and let him just because he needs reps.
Yeah,
agreed. He absolutely needs reps there, as does everybody. You know, this is game one. You know, and game two on the road, Big Ten, you need to be prepared. You need to be as sharp as you can possibly be. So Carlo and I, 5 days a week on the Thunder and Lightning podcast. And, of course, you can see him, as his shirt says right there, on WCBI Sports, best high school coverage in the state of
Mississippi. Amen. I like that. WCBI ends on 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock on Fridays. Be there. Be square.
We'll be back. Thunder and Lightning in just a few minutes. Carlo and I are both, I would say, cautiously optimistic about this upcoming season. I think we both feel that the potential is there for them to exceed our expectations. If you look at the media poll that I did earlier this summer with him and everybody else who covers this team, we were all in that 6-6 range, except for a couple guys who went 7-5. Nobody really wanted to push the envelope and make like an 8-win prediction, which I get. I understand. This is a tough schedule, and you don't really – you know, how much – it's fair to have questions about Jeff Lebby. It's absolutely fair. Your record, you are what your record says you are, right? Isn't that what Bill Parcells always taught us? Well, his record's 7-18. It's fair to have questions and comments about that. Don't let anybody tell you that it's not. If anybody gives you, well, you should just support. You probably should. You know, you shouldn't have that opinion about anybody. You shouldn't just support anything. You should have your questions about it. But there's cautious optimism, and there's reason for it. The roster is better. It looks like a real SEC roster. You've got real star players. You know, I would tell you that just from a star perspective, Jones, Smith, Evans, Taylor, Bothwell, these are guys that other SEC fans are familiar with. They know who these players are. If somebody tries to say, oh, I don't know any of your players, well, it's cool that you're a casual, bro. You didn't have to tell me you don't watch a lot of college football. You could have just kept that to yourself. Don't let anybody tell you. If somebody comes in and is like, I don't know who Anthony Evans is, well, you don't watch much college football then. Because people who watch college football, people who know the game, they know who Anthony Evans is. So that's what you're not. And, you know, you get that a lot sometimes on the social media. That's always my comeback. You don't need to tell me that you don't watch a lot of college football. I watch a lot of college football, so I know who these players are. There's a reason to be optimistic if you're a Mississippi State fan. There's a reason to be pessimistic. I really feel like, and I've been saying this all summer long, that, you know, for a game against a bad Sun Belt team, we're going to learn more about Mississippi State than you might expect from a season opener like this. You know, most of the time you play an early game like this and you just think, well, they'll blow them out and we don't know anything. I disagree. I think we're going to watch how State plays in the line of scrimmage. We're going to see how Kamario Taylor throws the ball today. It looks in the pocket, and we're going to have a better idea of what this team is going to be going forward. I will feel really confident, I think, on Sunday evening when I do Thunder and Lightning, I will feel pretty good about where I am with this team as far as predictions go. Speaking of predictions, when we come back, let's give you some players to watch, and we'll make a prediction for Mississippi State's game tonight against Louisiana Monroe. Back in just a minute here on WLZA Laser 96.1. This is the MSU Tailgate Show presented by Fastnet by 4Count.
Now, back live to the Fastnet by 4Count MSU Tailgate Show with your host, Brian Haydad.
Let's wrap it up here on the Tailgate Show, the MSU Tailgate Show presented by Fastnet by 4Count here on WLZA Laser 96.1 here in the Golden Triangle. I'm Brian Haydad. I want to thank all of our sponsors here on the Tailgate Show, Fastnet by 4Count, Campus Bookmart, and of course, the good people over at Obie's. Mississippi State comes into this game against Louisiana Monroe, 6:30 kickoff tonight. They are a 28.5-point favorite in that game. And when I tell you that, you know, if you listen to Sports Talk Mississippi, you already know this, but this was my executive lock of the week, is that the Bulldogs are going to cover this spread tonight. I'll give you an exact score in just a little bit, but this is a bad Sun Belt team. There is a massive, massive talent gap between the Bulldogs and the Warhawks. Mississippi State should be in complete control of this game from the moment it kicks off to the moment it ends. And if they aren't, well then, you know, Monday's Thunder and Lightning podcast might be one you want to catch because there might be some things to say. But I don't expect that to be the case. I expect Mississippi State to dominate this game. You know, when you look at Jeff Lebby last year in non-conference play 4-0 in the regular season, including a win over a good Arizona State team. Handled a USM team on the road that is much better than this ULM team is. Obviously, you know, Alcorn is a game that you expect to win by the kind of margin Mississippi State did so a year ago. And then the game against Northern Illinois, a little dicey in the opening minutes, but by and large, State controlled that game throughout. Expect that to be no different today, and even by a larger margin. So some players to watch. You know, Kamario kind of goes without saying at this point, right? I think somebody asked me, is this the most excited we've been to see a quarterback debut at Mississippi State since whoever? And it got me to thinking about it. You know, with Dak, when he became the starter in 2014, we had already kind of seen what he had to offer. That wasn't, you know, there wasn't as much unknown about Dak Prescott. With Nick Fitzgerald, I think it wasn't as much anticipation because, you know, when you're the guy that follows the guy, there's always a little bit of that, right? KJ Costello transferring in from Stanford and working in Mike Leach's system, I think people were excited, but not to the level here. And then if you want to go back to, you know, I don't think that Wayne Madkin or you know, Kevin Fant or any of those guys, maybe an Omar Connor just because he was a local guy. I mean, same high school, you know, as Kamario. Of course, Omar is Kamario Taylor's uncle. But, you know, you knew those teams weren't great either. So here we are with this kind of a watershed moment for Mississippi State. Are we about to watch? You know, I know he's already played, right? I know he's started two games, but that was not his team. This is his team. And we're about to start. Are we about to start what we can define as an era? Well, you know, we had the Dak Prescott era at Mississippi State. Are we about to start the Kamario Taylor era at Mississippi State? We'll find out soon enough. I expect big numbers, though. I think State plays him deep into the game, probably plays him into the third quarter if they can, and tries to, you know, let him roll some numbers up. Let him start getting some confidence. Let him make some of those throws. So obviously keep an eye on him. I'll give you a couple others. Zion Reagans is the name I want you guys to know. Kind of the guy State has brought in, and very similar. You know, you think about a year ago, did we really know who Brennan Thompson was? We had heard he was this incredibly fast receiver, and he had done all these things, you know, but he had done all these things in camp, but he didn't have any production on the field. Reagans is kind of the same way. Coming from Oklahoma, just as Thompson did, familiarity with Levy, familiarity with his system, big speed guy, he's going to get the first opportunity to replace the SEC's leading receiver from a season ago. And, you know, I expect to see him be the target of some of these deep throws in this game. I expect to see him be a guy that, by and large, Mississippi State fans can rely on as a target in the deep passing game. Now, you know, can he give you the same things that Thompson gave you a season ago? We'll have to find that out. But just want to keep an eye on him today. He'll play a lot. One thing about Jeff Lebby is he doesn't like to rotate a ton of receivers, you know, five or six at most. Reagans is getting first crack at being one of those guys on the outside. You know what you got with Anthony Evans. San Francisco McGee on the other side, you know, has been here for 3 years. He's played for 3 years for Jeff Lebby. I expect him to be very solid for Mississippi State this year. Reagans is kind of an X factor in that, you know, it's the same as Thompson. I don't know exactly what he's going to be this year. The tight end position is one that, you know, State didn't really go out in the portal and try to chase anybody. So they're really relying on Sam West. Now, Sadu Traore a season ago was good enough, 30 catches. Goes into the NFL draft. He's playing for the Miami Dolphins now. But this is an offense that when it's clicking, the tight end can be a huge piece of it. So can Sam West be that guy? That's a position group where I would say I have concern. So I'll keep an eye on Sam West today. Can he, you know, just get three or four catches and you know, start getting a little momentum, start getting a little confidence there. That's a guy to keep an eye on. The whole offensive line, you know, I want to see what this group does. Can they protect Kamario Taylor against what is the second worst defensive team they'll play all season? The only team that's going to be worse than this one is Tennessee Tech towards the end of the year when you play your FCS game. So if you can't protect Kamario Taylor today, if you can't run the football effectively today, I don't have a lot of hope that you can do it throughout the season. So they need to be good. They need to be good left to right, protecting Kamario Taylor's blind side, getting push off the ball. What is State's yards per carry in this game? It should be close to six. They should be able to run the ball at will. You've got a quarterback who's a big play threat, so you got to imagine he's going to have some 20- or 30-yard runs that kind of help that. What are the running backs' yards per carry? Break it down even further. What do Bothwell, Xavier Gayton, Colin Wilson, do we see the true freshman today? J.J. Hill from Tupelo, Cooper Crosby from Gulfport. Do we see those guys out there? I assume later in the game they'll get some carries. But that yards per carry to me is a key stat for Mississippi State. On the defensive side of the ball, the guy I'm most excited to see is Will Whitson. We only got six quarters out of Will Whitson a season ago. They were a great six quarters. He was the SEC Defensive Lineman of the Week against USM. Gets hurt in the first half of the Arizona State game where he had a sack and was absolutely dominating. The defense was not the same after he left. I hate making proclamations that have to involve the words, if he can stay healthy, But it's fitting with Whitson when you look at his medical history. But if he can stay healthy, he is a potential all-SEC defensive end for Mississippi State. Another guy I want to keep an eye on is Amari Williams, the jack position. This is the position that under Zach Arnett, Tyrus Wheat was so successful. Williams, a transfer from Florida State, coming over with Arnett, where he was an analyst last year. This is the guy State put all of their eggs in the basket of being a pass rusher for Mississippi State. State did not go out in the portal and aggressively pursue a guy with proven stats as a pass rusher because of this kid. So he needs to deliver for Mississippi State. State last season, the leading sacker on the team had 2.5 sacks. That number needs to be at least doubled. You need to have somebody who has at least 5 sacks on this football team. There's no excuse for an SEC team to not have one guy that can reliably get after the quarterback. Amari Williams is going to get the first crack at that. I'm excited to finally see Jet Jefferson at full strength. If you go back a year ago, Jet Jefferson was being talked about like he's going to play the other side of, you know, from Kelly Jones. Gets hurt before that first game and was just never really the same. And State struggled at that cornerback position. Diego Brumfield, Javen Williams, they just weren't up to the task. Go back and watch the Egg Bowl if you don't believe me. You know Kelly Jones is going to lock down his side of the field. If Jefferson can be good for Mississippi State, man, that's going to, especially in this 3-3-5 where there's so much aggression, there's so much man coverage, having a second cornerback who can play at a good level would be huge. And then there's a true freshman I have an eye on, and that's Braylon Womack. Nearly a 5-star, really high 4-star, was recruited by everybody in the country out of Hartfield Academy, committed to Auburn, a late flip to Mississippi State. You know, listed on the depth chart behind Marcus Williams, the transfer from Rice. But that is a guy that I think by season's end we're going to be seeing a whole lot of. I really think that he is a guy that could find his way into the starting lineup. He's just super talented. Michael Borky from Sports Talk Mississippi called Hartfield games last year and was adamant that this kid is a superstar in the making. Keep an eye on him. One more offensive, maybe a special teams guy, is Camden Capehart. True freshman out of Texas. One of the fastest players in high school football a year ago. A state champion 100-meter guy in the state of Texas. Faster than Brennan Thompson. So does State find a way to put the ball into his hands some way? I would think it would be very smart to try to do so if I'm Jeff Lebby. So don't expect a ton from him. Not saying he's going to be in the rotation at receiver, but do they find a play here, a play there, just to get him the ball in open field and let him turn up? I think you absolutely have to look at that. It's been a while since I've just come on the show, I think, you know, against an FBS opponent. I would have done it last year with Alcorn and just said, yeah, this is going to be a blowout win. But I really, truly believe it is. I think State's going to handle their business very easily in this game. If you maybe put a score down, you know, it's going to be a lot to a little. We'll just say Mississippi State 49 and ULM 10. And that's the kind of score this game needs to have. If this game is something like 38-17, or God forbid, something like 24-10, 24-13, that's a huge, huge problem. A close win is a loss in this game. Mississippi State should dominate this game. They should win it easily. They should easily cover that 28.5-point spread. Will they do it? I believe they will. One way or the other, we're going to find out. All right, so don't forget to join me on YouTube, Super Talk YouTube, after the game for the Thunder and Lightning Live post-game show, live from the press box there at Davis-Wade Stadium. Of course, tomorrow, Thunder and Lightning podcast will be up. We'll recap everything we had here today, and then a full week of Sports Talk Mississippi on Super Talk. Talk about that and get ready for State's massive road trip to Minnesota. The Tailgate Show is 12 games this year, by the way. We'll be for every game right here on WLZA. This is the MSU Tailgate Show, presented by Fastnet by 4County. Let's get you to the state.
Thank you to our Fastnet by 4County MSU Tailgate Show sponsors, Fastnet, Campus Bookmark, and Obies.
You've been listening to the Fastnet by 4County MSU Tailgate Show with Brian Haydad. Join us again 3 hours before kickoff of the next home game, right here on Laser 96.1. Now stay tuned for Bulldog Football. A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.